Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I'm your host, Colin Dams, once again joined by Nathan Heinschel and Polly Questel. What is up, boys?
Here we go.
That's right.
Mobius is dead.
Jaden Sancho is confirmed.
Mobius is dead. Spoiler. That was probably the biggest thing that happened on Wednesday. It was pretty shocking.
Yeah, and a day full of, you know, not much news. We sat back and we watched Loki, and we just kind of watched Mississippi State win their first ever national championship in any sport.
That was late at night. I was already asleep.
Yeah. But Jaden Sancho has been confirmed, finally. The July 1st announcement coming from Manchester United, both them and Borussia Dortmund confirming the deal.
That I told you would come on July 1st.
Yeah. So Polly tweeted tomorrow, and then after that was when everyone started reporting the Jaden Sancho deal was done. And then it was indeed the next day that it was confirmed.
Last week, I was like, this will happen no sooner than Thursday, because that's July 1st. Thursday it'll happen.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, we won't see him in a kit until after the Euros, which, since it's coming home, is going to be probably July 12th, 13th, something like that. So, you know, give him a couple days to celebrate the final in London and then head on back to Manchester to complete his medical and sign his contract.
Yeah, man, we got to see what our guy looks like with the new Team Viewer logo on his chest, you know?
England have already traveled. No, they wouldn't have traveled to Rome yet. They don't play until Saturday. They'll probably travel tomorrow.
Yeah, and there's a London office for Manchester United, but I think it was confirmed that they're not going to do any of the official stuff until he's done with England.
They did. That's a respect thing. But, like, come on, you could whisk him away. You could whisk him away to a warehouse in London and take a few photos in that shirt. Like, just release the shirt and we also know he's going to be number 7. So if you just release the shirt, they'll sell him. Like, yeah. Even if United, we're sitting here with our wallets open, like trying to spend money. Just give us the ability to do it.
Shut up and take our money.
Yeah. Like, nobody's buying. If you drop the red kit right now, like, no one's buying a Bruno Fernandes, red kit. They're buying a Jaden Sancho.
They're trying to break that Neymar money record.
Yeah, for sure.
So with this being done July 1st, which is, you know, the start of the new season technically, what's the value of getting it done now as opposed to, you know, maybe late July, early August?
This is a now the dominoes can fall in place move, because we've been telegraphing that we're going to sign Sancho forever. So at this point, you know, we've put our position out there. You know, we've dropped it on the table, as they would say in the business world. And now everybody knows how much money we've spent on Jaden Sancho. And I think that shows obviously a clear investment. They were talking about today how apparently Sancho was pretty much ready to go when it was announced that we re-signed Cavani. And so I think this falls into that same category. Now we've got the rest of the signings that the team is going to want to go after. You can say, hey, we've signed Jaden Sancho. We're showing, you know, this is our intention this year. I don't necessarily know if Jaden Sancho is a win now player, because we might still be even a year farther off, just because City's still really good. Chelsea's looking really good. But this is one of those intentions where it's like, we just spent big money on a top rising talent in a position that was a need for a very, 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 very long time. And so I think the intention's there. And maybe if any of his other England teammates, whose name rhymes with Schmeiss, wants to join for a reasonable fee as well, you know, let's just send them back up on the same plane together. Like, let's go. Let's do it.
Really? Yeah. Nathan, you missed the answer here. Like, Colin asked a question that for you is the simplest answer in the world. The vibes.
Dude, the vibes are so good right now.
What's the value in doing this July 1st? The vibes.
Guys, we signed a player and announced him the day that the year changed over. Like, At this rate, we might actually announce a player in January in a couple of years. Like, this rocket ship's only going up, baby.
The vibes are great. You got him in July 1st, which means he will not be here for the start of preseason because he's away for an international tournament. So nothing changes there. God forbid we ever got a player in for preseason. But as Nathan alluded to, it sets the tone and it brings people back to the table. Paul Pogba's now, he's ready to sit at the table because we've dealt with this before. Wayne Rooney submitted that transfer request because he said our ambition didn't match his. And Paul Pogba has been, he hasn't been doing anything. His agent has been speaking and honestly not that much since December. But Paul Pogba hasn't been angling to leave, but he hasn't been knocking on the door to sign an extension either. He's said he's been open to it, but they haven't sat at the table yet because he's questioned the ambition. Is, oh, you wasted years of my career. And we have talked about this and joked about it and said it would be really nice if we could waste some more years of his career. But he doesn't want that. He wants to know there's going to be players around me. He was very happy when Bruno Fernandes came in, but he wants more of that. So now you have signaled we have brought in Jadon Sancho, which will put Paul Pogba at the table. And Bruno Fernandes is already, his camp has alluded to, United have been trying to sign Bruno to an extension since November. And his camp have already said, we're not signing anything until Pogba signs an extension because they don't want the stars to leave and nobody to come in. And then it's just Bruno. So you have now established, all right, we are bringing in players. We are not done, or not necessarily done. They're saying all the right things to say that they're not done. But you look at the other players out there who have said, oh, they signed Pogba and let him rot for a few years. Then they brought in Maguire and then they brought in Bruno and then nothing. Oh, well now they're going for players. And I could come on and you look at that team that was clearly missing a piece or two and was still as good as they were. I can come in and be a part of that because this is a young team that's getting better and players are going to want to come to United. And you, I very much think Pogba is going to be sitting at the table very soon because look around, you want to go to a Real Madrid team that just let their two center back letting their two center backs go. There aren't signing. They signed an older center back on a free. They've made it clear that they're putting their money.
The core of that team is all 30 plus.
That's where you want to go?
Casemiro, yeah.
Right, and the whole French angle right now, who knows what the hell, how the French players see each other and who's getting along with who. You can't go. He can't go to PSG for obvious reasons, but also their best player just said, I ain't signing a new contract. So, yeah, Pogba, I expect to be sitting at the table. The vibes here are great. And on top of that, the PR, they've gotten the PR right. And they've said all the right things. They actually released the payment structure, which was a very great idea. Instead of sitting here when Ed Woodward said 7 years ago at this point, we're going to be able to do things that nobody else has ever been able to do in the transfer market. All that told everybody else was, hey, United got money, so we're going to make them pay it. And then last year, all they said was, oh, we're actually coming through this pandemic pretty well. We're going to be able to exploit the transfer market. We're doing okay. And everybody went, so we're not lowering the price for you. And versus Liverpool, who like cried poor and basically signed Thiago and Diogo Jota for all they spent on that was £9 million last year. Now they're going to have to pay a lot more of that this summer. But last summer they did it for £9 million. So we released the payment structure of 14.5 million is what this is costing us this year, which if your budget is 100 million, like, or even if it is 70 million, like Jadon Sancho this season is not taking up a lot of that, which gives you the opportunity to go out and pursue other players. And then they made the point to say, just because we signed Sancho and like there isn't really room in the budget to sign another big player unless we have a sale or two, which could be true because we don't know how hard the pandemic hit our finances. Or it could be exactly the right thing to say and not be like, hey, look at that. We pulled one over Dortmund. Now we have all this money to still spend because then teams will be like, we want that money.
Well, yeah. And then releasing that financial information too, is a great way to kind of put a PR spin on what was largely considered a PR disaster last year, where they can show with numbers, hey, this is why we waited, you know, 8 extra months to sign Jadon Sancho, because let's remember what that fee was last year. I mean, it was
about 30 million euros more. Yeah.
35 million euros more, 30 million pounds less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did we do without Sancho? I mean,
we weren't finishing first place this year, Sancho or not.
Exactly. And
so,
and we didn't not reach the knockout rounds because we didn't have Jadon Sancho. I think we've discussed this on the show before. Yeah, we had to play that back five against Leipzig, but even if you add Jadon Sancho, Paul Pogba wasn't playing that game. Fred was suspended. We had to play Matic and McTominay in midfield. They were overrun right from the get-go. Like, Jadon Sancho's not changing that. And the game against PSG, we missed chance after chance after chance, and McTominay and Fred were overrun in midfield in that game as well.
Yeah.
Jadon Sancho isn't changing that, other than we'd create this. Maybe we finish a chance or two, but the midfield battle would have been just the same.
I think there's an argument, too, that the squad as it was, if the group stage had started a month later, we would have been fine.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there was definitely growing pains going into that season. And I think, you know, on the reverse end of vibes, losing out on Jadon Sancho was, you know, kind of a hard pill to swallow at the time. But now, you know, we've got 2 months before the season starts. We've got a preseason coming in. The club seemed very ambitious. And there's also the public pressure of, you know, all the Super League stuff now on the owners to actually back up their commitment to,
exactly,
you know, funding a team and, you know, building around Solskjaer and giving him a team that can compete.
Right. And that's not to say that, oh, we should have had Sancho last year. And I did read someone complaining about this. Oh, why are we praising them for a deal that we should have done last year? And instead we risked not finishing in the top four, which is ridiculous, because first of all, we finished with more points. You forget to account for the fact that people like Greenwood, Rashford, McTominay, Fred would all get better. And also, Jadon Sancho doesn't guarantee us the top four this season. We could still finish outside of it. There's no, you know, it's not like everybody goes, ah, shit, there's one less top four place up for grabs now because United have gotten it. No.
Yeah. But, well, people just watched what Liverpool did. They lost their star center back, and all of a sudden they damn near didn't finish top four. You know, it's not adding or removing Jadon Sancho isn't going to determine a top four position. It's going to be, you know, how the team is able to handle pressure when other attacks are coming at them, and then how they can, you know, possess the ball and obviously score goals in that way. So Sancho will help in one way, but it, on the back end of the ball, you know, there's always that opportunity where there could be a step backwards. The defense has played really well the last 2 years, ever since Maguire stepped into the squad. If you take a guy out like Maguire, which we have saw very, very briefly at the end of the season, and then kind of what England has saw at the very, very beginning of the tournament, Harry Maguire is a pretty effective player.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, England look night and day with
you
Maguire.
United look night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, Harry Maguire, at this point, you understand why he's an 80-million-pound player, but you understood that by the Europa League final. It took like two games to be like, wow, the defense just can't move the ball up the pitch. And when Maguire's on the pitch, it's a huge asset for our attack. We struggled to create chances against bad teams. And we got the doors blown off of us by Liverpool. Harry Maguire is a huge part of that in terms of just pushing the ball up the pitch. And I understand that there are people that are upset that we didn't get Sancho in, and for some reason they're trying to rain on the parade of, you know, why are we celebrating a player that we should have had last year? And
not really United fans.
You can't forget. You're associating like, oh, if we signed him last year, we could use the money this year to go out and make a different big signing, and that's not necessarily true, because
we might have less money this year if we had gone.
Let's say we had the money last year. Let's say we had the money last year and spent it. We did not make it back because we didn't have fans in the ground all season long, which means we might have tied ourselves up financially even worse and had more long-term ramifications, possibly beyond this summer, or maybe just this summer. And instead, if we did have that money, we held on to it. I don't know if we put it in a savings account or if we invested it, but if you got any sort of interest on it, great, then you have even more money, but you paid $30 million less of it. So, and you're not paying nearly as much up front. So all of a sudden that money can be invested into the squad better. Whereas if you put it out there last year, like, there's a good chance that financially we don't have the flexibility that we have this summer.
Yeah. And I guess that's sort of the next big topic for this podcast too, and for Manchester United going forward, is what is next in this sort of team building process. Because whether the budget for this summer was £100 million or was £70 million, probably most of that is going to have to go towards one position if we want someone who can step into the starting 11 right away. So we put out a Twitter poll through the Busby Babe account asking whether midfield or center back was the biggest priority. And most people voted center back. So that won 60% of the vote, whereas midfield won 38%. I voted for midfield in that one. And it has been It's been a pretty common topic on this podcast that midfield is probably the area we should invest in the most. But and kind of surprising, too, after, you know, a pretty good Euro campaign that Victor Lindelof has had, that a lot of the Lindelof hate has continued. I get that without Harry Maguire, our back four looks pretty shaky, and we do really need depth at that position, regardless of whether Lindelof is going to remain the starter or not. But I don't know if there's a very big holding midfield size hole in our starting 11, it seems to me.
Yeah. It really ultimately comes down to this, is I always use the NFL analogy of your playmakers up top are your running backs and your wide receivers, and you want to get them the ball in space. You're always trying to get the ball into your dynamic playmakers' hands, and sure, you could throw a screen pass to your wide receiver, but how many times then you're relying on him to break a big run out of that and, you know, make the first guy miss and run downfield, whereas opposed to you want to get him on a 17-yard route and hit him in stride so that he can run. And you need a good quarterback to do that. And we've got the most dynamic playmakers out there right now. We need someone to get them the ball in areas where they can be effective. And when they're effective is when they get the ball in space, when they get the ball with the ability to run at defenders, when they get the ball in transition. If we don't have that guy that can make the pass through the lines, and we're doing this side to side, pass it to the fullbacks, slowly pass it forward one line at a time, build up that we so often do, then the defense is going to stay compact. And by the time you get the ball to Sancho and to Bruno and to Rashford, they're going to be double teamed. There's going to be four guys back and the wingers back and a lot of men in the box and in the middle, and they're not going to be effective. So you need that person that can pass the ball to them. We do have Paul Pogba, but as we are seeing, we need a defensive midfielder that can play next to Paul Pogba. That is not McTominay. That is not Fred. Matic is old and unreliable. In theory, it should be able to be McTominay, but we have seen too often this season that when McTominay plays next to Pogba, they just double and triple team Pogba and go, hey, McTominay, you take the ball, you beat us. And he has not proven capable of doing that. So you need someone that can handle it better than that. And what happens when Paul Pogba gets hurt? Then we don't have anybody. So you need that passer to play, and he could play next to Pogba. Pogba played next to Carrick a lot in his first season at Old Trafford, and they were a very good pair. You don't necessarily need that destroyer player in midfield. You need that passer so that we can get the ball to the dangerous players. All the while, if we get a proper defensive midfielder who knows how to position himself and can pass, he will protect our center backs, and all of a sudden, our center backs are going to look a lot freaking better. Sweden doesn't have the best midfielders, but they are defensive and they play defensively. And guess what? They protect Victor Lindelof and they make him look a lot better. So instead of just being like, hey, if we go and get, hey, we got the dynamic attacker, our attack's really dangerous now, and then go, hey, we got the center back, our defense is fixed, we will have the exact same problems because we won't be able to unleash our attackers on teams, and our center backs will be unprotected and exposed.
Oh, and look who's been playing in front of Harry Maguire in the Euros. It's been Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice. Pretty solid midfielders.
Problem is Declan Rice can't pass.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far – Pauly pretty much made the same point that I was going to make. I think we can all agree, and, you know, listeners that may or may not have agendas, put them away for a second. Paul Pogba has been a top three player in this European tournament that we're watching. It is a shame that France got knocked out because we are not going to get to watch him play more. What do you like – and you see these people who got to get their jokes off on Twitter where it's like, wow, another European tournament where Paul Pogba plays better with his European team than he does for his club team. And again, I will ask you, who plays next to Paul Pogba? It's N'Golo Kanté. What Paul Pogba continues to prove is when you take a little bit of work off of his plate, it allows him to cook in other areas. And I mean, it's the same thing. Think about your job. When you have extra help at work, you're able to perform your task better. There you go. Let's get somebody who can properly manage the load of work in the midfield so that way Paul Pogba can do the things that Paul Pogba's great at and help out in the areas where the other midfielder might need some help there and vice versa and make it more symbiotic in the midfield. Because right now we've got two guys that need to be fused together into one person playing in the midfield, you know, individually with Paul Pogba, and that's when things get a little funky. And so that's the opportunity that United has. Get a guy that comes in and helps amplify what makes Pogba great, what makes Bruno great, and all of a sudden the midfield looks a lot stronger, and then the center backs are covered, and we don't have, you know, as many situations where Harry Maguire all of a sudden has to, you know, turn a cruise ship around and throw a U-turn and try and, you know, chase a ball down, or Victor Lindelof having to do the same thing, or as when we were talking to Carl Anka, you know, when you have the Eric Bailly Harry Maguire center back duo, Eric Bailly's not talking to Harry Maguire, so all of a sudden you have the problem where Harry Maguire maybe gets caught out of position because he doesn't have somebody in his ear. Putting somebody in front of them will help alleviate some of that stress.
And so, not just that, but Pogba can also do some magical things when teams give him tons of space, which won't happen at the club game. But also, those French forwards make runs and allow him to play those ridiculous balls. United's forwards need to start making some runs, because if you think Jadon Sancho is going to be successful without them making runs, you are deeply mistaken. Jadon Sancho is not a get on the touchline and cross the ball into the box winger. He is far from that. He is an interchange, get to the middle, make things happen in the middle, pass and move. You pass back, but like everybody needs to be moving for Jadon Sancho to be successful, and his movement is fantastic. But you need Marcus Rashford to start moving, and he doesn't do that. You need Mason Greenwood to start making the right runs. You need Anthony Martial to start making the right runs. Hell, you need Cavani to make the right runs. Cavani's movement's great, but you got to work in the pass back, and he'll be very successful with Cavani. But you need the other ones to do it too.
Again, too, I mean, this seems like a ball progression problem, because these are players that have had to play a little bit deeper than their typical front line, you know, to get the ball forward.
I know when Cavani come to the midline, I mean, imagine if you have better passing progression and you have people with better spacing in the midfield. Cavani doesn't have to come pick up the ball, you know, on the other side of the circle at the halfway point, and then he probably has more energy to make more runs than up top.
Yeah. So what is McFred's quarterback comp then?
Oh.
What's the NFL comp for, like, level that they're at right now?
Is it Nick Foles?
It's game. No. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. It's game manager.
It's not Big Dick Nick.
It's game manager. Like, it's magic is too much because he's taken on his own aura recently. But who's the guy like 10 years ago that used to just bounce around and kind of just go 10-6 one year and then like 6-10 the next year, and then he'd go to a new team? But like
Brian Hoyer.
It's like Mark Sanchez with the Jets. Like when he's handing the ball off and just making the safe throws, you do well because everybody else is doing things. And occasionally he can make a play. But the second that the Jets said, oh, all right, now we're going to ask you to make plays. It was a disaster because it was like, well, you're not catching the defense off guard anymore, and he's not good enough to do this.
Yeah.
But it's a game manager who comes in, you run the ball, you try to avoid third and long. You need your defense to make a play or two. Your defense.
Oh, so you're talking about Blake Bortles in the 2017 NFL season.
Yeah, probably.
That is exactly what I lived through as a Jaguars fan.
That's the only NFL season that Nathan watched.
Basically, like any, you know, those random years where like the Washington football team would randomly make the playoffs. Like
this year.
Yeah. Like whoever their quarterbacks were those years, like Rob Johnson, Brad Johnson's a great example.
Brad Johnson is a great example.
I just thought of a really, this is way off topic now, but Santonio Holmes, is he the Alexis Sanchez to Manchester United for the New York Jets?
Antonio Holmes was better than Sanchez was, but like not by much.
Yeah, probably like a little bit longer too of still having ability. But
Antonio Holmes was really good until they gave him that contract, and then he just became awful.
Yeah. All right, we should shift the conversation back to Manchester United before we start losing listeners. Eduardo Camavinga, not the typical defensive midfield, you know, kind of plug him in type of player, but somebody we're linked to that is pretty exciting and definitely on the up, but also wanted by PSG. Is he the kind of teenager that you think we should shell out, you know, a decent amount of money for, or is he maybe somebody that we should pass on?
No, like that's the kind of player that we typically sign. Like we missed out on Jude Bellingham. Camavinga is the next guy. He needs to work on his passing, but he's 17. Like I am okay with signing a player who, oh yeah, he needs to get a little bit of passing, of better passing in at 17 than one who is 23, because that is 17 is the age where you're developing that. Like we work on this. 23 is like you already have your fundamental skills, and it's more like did something in your brain just click and you figured out how to exploit things. So yeah, go after him.
Plus, if that's his biggest weakness, then you know putting him next to Pogba and Bruno Fernandes should be, you know, a little bit of a fix for that in terms of keeping passing quality in the midfield.
Not to keep beating a dead horse, he can't even watch Pulp Fiction yet. Like he can learn.
That's right. What about as opposed to some of these other midfield targets that we've supposedly been looking at? I know Declan Rice is a big one who recently turned down another contract offer from West Ham. Would still probably cost a pretty penny because I think he's got 3 years left on his deal.
I don't think my opinion's changed on Declan Rice. Like, I think he's really good player and he'd be a good signing for us, but the British tax and the United tax that we're gonna have to pay on it, I don't know if it's necessarily worth it. I feel like there's just other avenues we could go through where we don't have to spend, you know, Jadon Sancho money on a guy like Declan Rice.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. We put out a post about this with some targets and everything. Declan Rice checks a lot of boxes for United, and he can drop back and play center back, which would give you cover back there. So maybe you don't have to splurge on a center back too. He'd be a great partner for Paul Pogba, but if Paul Pogba gets hurt, you're left with the exact same dilemma that you have now, in which case you have Declan Rice, who is a great partner for Pogba. You have Nemanja Matic, who is a great partner for Pogba. And then you have McTominay and Fred, who, when you put them next to Nemanja Matic, it's not great. And when you put them together against certain teams, it's not good at all either. And as Carl spoke about when he was with us, Donny van de Beek is the guy that receives the ball. He's not a passer. So Donny van de Beek, if you put him next to any one of those guys, Rice, Matic, McTominay, Fred, he's just going to go and find good positions on the pitch to receive the ball. but no one will be able to pass it to him. So it kind of rules out Declan Rice because you do need that passer. And think about it this way. Like, Johnny Van de Beek takes up good positions. So does Jadon Sancho. And, like, if you make that pass through the lines, and then you have Sancho and Bruno and up there with Van de Beek, like, that becomes really dangerous and a really quick ball-moving team. There is the other thing that, yeah, West Ham have said they want over $100 million for him. He's a big part of their future. I actually don't believe that, really, because the rest of their team is so old that they're not going to be this good for that long. Maybe another year, tops. But they're also going to have the Europa League this year, and I think Declan Rice is a replaceable player. So West Ham would be wise to cash in on him now rather than wait. But they want $100 million for it. The Athletic reported that Declan Rice has been asked to be informed if anybody bids $60 million for him. He's already apparently upset that West Ham are going to price him out of a move. But yeah. Like Nathan said, the Premier League tax, just don't shop in England. Jadon Sancho cost less money than Harry Maguire, and Jadon Sancho is a superstar. Harry Maguire is worth every penny we spent on him, but if Harry Maguire was coming from Wolfsburg, he would have cost $45 million and still been worth every penny. But the fact of the matter is, he was coming from a Premier League team, it jacked up the price. Jadon Sancho is I showed you that stat, like, he's one of four people goals and assists per 90 to be over one over the last 5 years. And it's like Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, and Sancho.
Yeah. Messi are the only ones to have 30 plus goals and assists over the last two seasons.
And that player cost less money than Harry Maguire. So, like, yeah, just shop outside of the Premier League and don't pay the Premier League taxes, because again, that TV contract is so good that everybody could sit there and be like, no, we don't need to sell our players.
Yeah. The last one that I was going to bring up.
A couple years ago.
The Greek god in Rome.
Nope.
Oh, he's in Napoli now. So the last one that I was going to bring up has not actually been linked to us yet, but he has been linked to Arsenal recently. Manuel Locatelli, who's having a good Euro campaign for Italy and is also a football manager and FIFA career mode favorite. Kind of a deep lying playmaker, but also somebody who seems like he likes to get forward a lot. He's a pretty good passer. He can play in a midfield three as well as playing as a sort of deeper midfielder. I think he checks some boxes. He's what, 22, 23, around the same age as Declan Rice. So
he's an interesting one.
Was he the player that Carl alluded to but wouldn't say by name to avoid the aggregators?
He might have been. We're not going to say that while we're recording.
No.
What Carl
did say was that if Verratti didn't play for Italy, someone who may have had an audition when AC Milan played United would be stepping in, and he is someone that you should be looking at. And you should have been looking at him before the Euros, because the worst time to buy someone is off the back of a good international tournament. That's a small sample size. Yeah, and a lot of other players. And it's a small sample size, et cetera. And Locatelli burst onto the mainstream with that 2-0 performance against whoever it was. And it was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, my team should sign him. And it's like, yeah, your team should sign him, but not because of what he did in this game, because scoring goals is not his thing. Like, Locatelli is a really good midfielder for a lot of other reasons, but if you sign him and expect him to do what he did in that game, you will never get the best out of him. Again, because international soccer is a totally different sport than club soccer, so you don't want another Paul Pogba situation on your hands where no matter what he does, everybody goes, oh, he's not good enough. But yeah, he is somebody that should be looked into, although I always get skeptical when no top teams are looking into somebody except for Arsenal. At this point, it's like, at this point, it's just become like when a big player gets available, they immediately get linked to like everybody, and then all of a sudden it's like your choices narrow down to Arsenal. Nobody's choosing to go to Arsenal these days. It's like your choices got narrowed down to Arsenal, And it's like, clearly all the good teams know something. So I'm like, all right, like if only Arsenal are the ones being linked to him, like probably not for us.
Have we?
Yeah.
I don't feel like we're being linked with Calvin Phillips. How's that not happened?
Well, we tried to make that happen back when Leeds were going to get relegated, and then they didn't. So
and Leeds aren't.
Leeds. Yeah, Leeds aren't going to sell anyone to us. Unless they go bankrupt again.
Yeah, right. And then there's
the whole tax thing. He had enough of a showing, especially in that one game. Like, I'm surprised there wasn't 7 articles about it, despite the fact of, you know, the historical rivalry between Leeds and Manchester United. I figured just because he was British and he played well in the Euro game, like, we were going to have 7 different links to him from all the, you know, shitty tabloids. But I'm surprised to not see him because... You want to talk about another like potential FIFA god that we could have on our team? That would be that'd be nice.
Yeah, somebody who specializes in murder ball. Anything called murder ball sounds like they'd make a pretty nice defensive midfield addition to your team.
Yeah, might take over some of the duties that Paul Pogba doesn't like to do in midfield. You know, like play defense.
Yeah,
like
that whole thing, like half the job.
One other transfer thing that we haven't talked about yet. This is going to be potentially 2 transfer windows in a row, summer transfer windows in a row that Manchester United is going to do the Lord's work for all the FIFA players and sign a player that we don't necessarily need, but is really, really good to have in FIFA if you're a Premier League Ultimate Team player in Rafael Varane.
Get those chem links.
I mean, we're going to potentially have a center back with nearly 80 pace in FIFA. Like, that's big if true.
Yeah.
I want to know more about this Varane thing because it was there. It went away. It came back, but not with as much steam. And then it went away again. And at the beginning of this week, it was all about the Camavinga. And then France lost. Then the next day was dominated by England. And then we've had 2 days off from the Euros, and I think it was Grace Robertson tweeted, like, isn't it funny how all these transfer rumors come out like as soon as you give us 2 off days? Like,
yeah.
it's just gossip. And suddenly you wake up this morning and it's all Varane to United. And did I send it to you and to you guys where it was like Sky Sports put out a breaking news, Manchester United are interested in Rafael Varane? Like, come on. But the funny thing is Varane's on holiday. Like, this was a point of contention in the French camp, was amongst all the other things that were divisive for France, was typically after a tournament, they fly back to France together, win or lose, and then they go their separate ways. But Varane, Griezmann, and Clement Lenglet were allowed to fly directly to their holidays. So, like, Varane's on holiday. So I don't know where all these rumors are coming from, other than we're trying to get quicks, which is also why I'm like, which is also why everybody immediately said United are now locking in on a center back. I don't know if that's true, because that's just like, remember, every journalist and news outlet and everything, they need their quicks and they need their engagement. And Jadon Sancho to United has been the bread and butter for that for the last year, and they just lost that. So they needed to strike while the iron's hot and just shift to what's the next thing, what's the biggest buzz, what's the thing. As our poll just showed, fans want the center back. That's what they're going to talk about.
Everything before yesterday, though, other than the Jadon Sancho reports, were indicating that Manchester United were keeping tabs on several midfielders. I think the Leon Goretzka.
And now it's all about, and yesterday there was also
like a Pogba replacement, but yeah.
Yeah, there was also, we've got another idea besides Kieran Trippier for right back. But today it's just center back, because they lost their quick machine and they're going, it's populist reporting.
Well, and feeding into that too is reportedly Sergio Ramos and PSG is basically a done deal at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also heard that Donnarumma was like a done deal a month ago and it's apparently not done.
Well, he can't sign anything yet because he's still with Italy.
Yeah, but so. Italy let him leave to do a medical.
Oh.
And he's still, like, that deal still isn't done, apparently.
Oh, so national teams are just doing this. Okay. Thanks, England.
Yeah, right? God, we have a London office. Just let him freaking do it.
Just go down to, let Marcus, Harry, and Luke just take him for a day out.
But at the same time, at the same time, don't, because the last thing you want is, you know, now that he plays for an English team, Gareth Southgate can actually play him and, like, start him against against Ukraine and watch him, like, tear his ACL.
Yeah.
That would be very bad vibes.
Yeah, so then do the medical and be like, whoa, this guy's got a torn ACL. Like, and suddenly you either cancel the deal or you knock a lot of price off that deal.
Please stop turning the XB dial down right now, Polly. I'm trying to stay high on this shit.
I'm just saying, make sure that you want to make sure that you are getting a pristine Jadon Sancho. So don't let the ink dry until the Euros are done. All I did was
tweet dance videos yesterday talking about, like, when Sancho assists Cavani in front of the Stretford end on August 14th against Leeds. Like, those are the vibes that we're trying to create, not talking about ACLs right now.
I agree. I also, it would be hilarious if now that he plays for an England team, like, Gareth Southgate starts him against the Ukraine.
Yeah.
So is Tony Martial getting sold before the window's on?
I don't know.
I hope not. I don't want Martial to leave. Part of that is my emotional attachment to him and the image of him being our next, you know, great one. But I don't know. I think keeping competition in the striker room is good.
Yeah.
Having him, Greenwood, and Cavani as options to not spread across three positions.
When Cavani inevitably gets hurt, you don't want your only striker option to be Mason Greenwood, and you don't want Marcus Rashford playing there. So yeah. You want Martial to be in there. There's a lot of different looks you can give teams when you have the likes of Rashford, Martial, Greenwood, Cavani, Sancho, Pogba. Oh, by the way, Amad Diallo. So you want to be able to do that. What they just have to get rid of the idea that Martial can play left wing, and if, like, Rashford were to actually get hurt enough that he stopped playing, that Martial can fill in for him because he can. And I think that's also why they went out and, you know, why Jadon Sancho was such a big signing, because as Carl said, we asked him about this on the podcast, and he said, Rashford just never, he's never looked at the team and felt, if I don't play, someone else can do that job. Jadon Sancho can do that, and that will allow Rashford to rest more.
Yep. We could probably, I mean, you could play Sancho on the left, Greenwood on the right, Cavani or Martial in the middle. I think, there's just a lot of options for this front three now.
Or even Amad Diallo could play.
Or Jack Grealish.
It's actually Greenwood, Cavani, and Sancho.
Uh-oh. Hot takes.
Could also play Daniel James. I don't know if you guys remember Daniel James. But
Another Man United player who had a pretty good Euros. So,
did you guys see the rumor yesterday that we're gonna give Lingard a 3-year deal?
I did not see that.
Oh my god! Oh, don't be that dumb.
Yeah.
Like, how is the Lingard Declan Rice swap not already just completely done and dusted? Like, what are we doing, guys?
David. Something tells me David Moyes is not going to let this go easy.
Agent Moyes, come on, baby. I know we fired you in the first of your 6 years, but...
on the contrary, you got 5 years where you didn't have to work and got paid the United manager salary.
I was about to say...
That is the dream.
That's like a Lee Grant sort of job there.
Getting paid by Manchester United. Almost Bobby Bonilla-esque. I'm Bobby Bonilla.
And credit to you that now what? We're 6 years later. You still know how to do it. Because, you know, some people, they don't work for a year and suddenly you go back into an office and you go, I don't remember how to do things here.
Yeah. You know, credit too that he set the standard so low for the incoming managers after him that, you know, I mean, there were times I think during Louis van Gaal where I remember United Twitter being like, well, at least under Moyes we crossed it. But I don't think that dialogue lasted very long. All right. I think that is going to do it for us today. Yeah. Do we have any U.S. men's national team or Marvel things to chime in with before we head out?
Cameron Carter didn't make the Gold Cup team, so tough blow for him, and we still will not be able to cap tie him.
Former Richmond kicker Matt Turner will be in camp for the Gold Cup as a member of the New England Revolution, so up the ruse, baby.
Also, right, the Gold Cup is happening. Forgot about that.
You guys ready to get CONCACAF'd?